The mission is simple, to help high achievers naturally eliminate emotional and physical obstacles so they can optimize their life for higher achievement. Welcome. You have just entered the Genesis Zone.
Good day, and happy new year. Welcome to the Genesis Zone show. This is Dr. Brian Brown. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us this Thursday, this first Thursday in the new year. Does your mind ever play tricks on you? Do you unwittingly look for the easiest path to navigate through a challenge or a problem? You know, I think we all do, if we're being honest. It's mostly a normal human thing to do. Well, in today's show, we're going to explore the quick fix illusion that pops up in healthcare all the time and what you can do about it. Now, I don't talk about this very much, but those who've recently started listening to me may not know that I've struggled with weight issues most of my life. I was electrocuted at age 5, and to make a long story short, that electrocution immediately caused me to start having heart issues that made my heart stop multiple times every night. Now, this was not caught until I was 45 years old, believe it or not. But we now know that it went all the way back to age 5 after the electrocution. Now, the electrocution caused my body to have the heart condition where my heart stopped. And as a result, my adrenal glands would release massive amounts of adrenaline into my bloodstream to jumpstart my heart back. And the secondary result or side effect of having too much adrenaline in your system is depression, anxiety, brain fog, obesity. The list goes on and on and on. But I struggled with depression, anxiety, and obesity and sleep issues as a result of all of that. Now, recently, I looked at my pediatric medical records. I was going through some old boxes and I was like, these are my old pediatric records. This is crazy. And I saw that up until age 5, I was actually a scrawny kid. If you can imagine that, I'm 6'2 now and about 240 pounds. So I'm a big guy. But at that time, I was a scrawny little kid, actually on the low end of the growth curve, a little almost underweight. But by age 7, just 2 years after that electrocution, I was classified by today's standards as an obese child. Now, at my highest weight, well into my adult years, I gained up to 390 pounds. And that's not something that I'm proud of, but it happened. Webster's dictionary defines illusion as a thing that is or is likely to be wrongly perceived or interpreted by the senses. Now, for years, I was under the illusion that I could do the next best, greatest, latest weight loss fad, cure, whatever you want to call it, and get rid of my excess weight once and for all. But boy, was I wrong. What I discovered was that for every weight loss fad that I've participated in, actually, let me back that up. For every weight loss fad that I subjected my body to, I gained all of my weight back plus some. And I know you know people who have been there that have done fad weight loss things and they gain all of their weight back plus some. You probably even know people that have had bariatric surgery or weight loss surgery and 2, 3, 4, 5 years later, they've put all of their weight back on and even more. I mean, what's up with that? It wasn't until I'd been in private practice about 10 years that I discovered what was going on. As with anything regarding weight loss, the foundation of weight loss is clean eating, good hydration, and a combination of cardiovascular and strength training. That's critical. But what happens when you subject yourself to fad weight loss programs is that you deplete your body of the very nutrients that it needs because it's basically starvation. Okay, so if you're doing amphetamines, weight loss drugs, you know, amphetamines, those types of things, you're starving yourself of one of the nutrients you need most to survive, and that's protein. And your body turns on itself. It cannibalizes itself. The technical medical term is catabolism, but that's where we get the word cannibalism from. It means to turn on yourself. And you see the body turn on its own muscle to get the protein that it needs. Well, the problem with that is that when we deplete our natural muscle reserves in our body, or we just decrease them by 10%, it can have a fourfold increase in our metabolism being lowered, because our metabolism is dependent on a proper ratio between fat and protein in your body. And I'm not talking about the fat and protein ratio that you consume, you eat. I'm talking about the fat to protein ratio, muscle fat to muscle ratio in your body, on your skeletal muscle system, and within your intestinal organ areas, the fat that lies in there, all of the fats included. We don't leave any fat out, but it's that proper ratio. And when you decrease muscle mass, the fat is allowed to create more conditions like insulin resistance. Therefore, your metabolism slows down to a snail's pace. So when you do repeat fad diets over and over and over again, that's exactly what's happening. You're destroying your metabolism. And it took me forever to figure that out, sadly. But once I did, I started doing things to make progress. Now, there's a new fad that's out, and I want to talk specifically about this because it's really a hot button for me. And there are multiple reasons why, and I'm going to go over those. One of those I've just hit on just briefly right here, but we're going to hit those as we proceed forward today. There's a class of medications called GLP-1, stands for gliptin, GLP-1 receptor agonist. Okay, meaning that they at the receptor site for GLP-1, they're agonist for that particular receptor. And as a result, they decrease appetite, they decrease insulin resistance, they decrease blood sugar, so on and so forth. So they work really well for diabetics. And that's what this class of medications was created for, is created for diabetics. You may recognize some of the names that have been on the market under the generic name semaglutide, or the trade name Ozempic, Wegovy, Rybelsus. Those are a GLP-1 receptor agonist. Other GLP-1 receptor agonists are liraglutide or Saxenda, dulaglutide or Trulicity, and tirzepatide, which is Mounjaro. It's the newest kid on the block. And Mounjaro, actually, by the way, for diabetics that don't respond to the others, Mounjaro is actually one of the more potent and a really, really good diabetes medication. It's a lifesaver for some diabetics. Now, as far as these GLP-1 receptor agonists go, there are many issues that, let's say, how do I say this? There are many issues that internet influencers and Hollywood elites that are promoting the use of GLP-1 receptor agonists for weight loss that they're simply not talking about. And yes, GLP-1 receptor agonists are being used by non-diabetic people to promote weight loss. Now, I have some issues with it. Here's the number one issue that I have with it. People who truly are diabetic, like unfortunately many of my clients and some of my family members that have struggled with diabetes in the past, they now have uncontrolled diabetes because guess what? Supplies for these GLP-1 receptor agonists are depleted due to the off-label use for weight loss. Now, this is a huge problem because now when that diabetic patient goes to the pharmacy to pick up their prescription, they're told that it's on back order and we'll let you know when it's in. I have some clients that have been on back order for their diabetes medications for 12 weeks now, and they can't get it. No matter what pharmacy they call in our area, they can't get it. And it's because it's being overused by people who have no business using it. And I warned you, this is going to be a hot topic of mine, okay? So we're talking about people that, oh, well, I gained 6 pounds over the past few months and I just can't get it off. I got to call bullcrap on that, You know, you can't get it off, or you don't want to do it the right way. That's the question. So therefore, you're going to go on a GLP-1 agonist. Now, if you're pre-diabetic, that's a whole different story. If you're trying to avoid bariatric surgery because you have that much weight on you, that's a whole different story. Yeah, I agree with the use of these medications for that. But if you're doing it just for aesthetic reasons, because I want to lose 5 or 10 or 15 pounds for this wedding or this anniversary or this trip or whatever the case may be, that's not the right reason to do this. It is literally taking medication out of the hands of the people that need it the most. And I'll be honest with you, while I'm on my soapbox, the people who could care less about it are the pharmaceutical companies and the pharmacies, to be quite honest with you. I hate to be crass, but they just want to make the sale. They don't care who they sell it to or how it gets sold. They just want the sale. And to a degree, not with everybody, because I don't want the medical community coming after me with knives and forks, but to a degree, some clinics are struggling with declining reimbursements from insurance companies in that they need people in the office. They need to generate revenue by seeing patients. Therefore, if they can prescribe a GLP-1 agonist for a person that wants to lose weight, that's an office visit for them. So it generates revenue for the office. In a time, in a day and age where I was talking to a chiropractor friend last night, he's taken a 30% hit in reimbursement from insurance over the past several years. Before I got out of psychiatry and quit billing insurance and got into functional medicine, I took a 40% reduction in reimbursement over a 3-year period. So it's happening. It's happening across all disciplines. So I understand why my health professional peers feel the need to be able to get people in seats in those waiting room chairs so that they can actually generate revenue from those visits. It still doesn't make it right, but it is what it is. It's the fact of where we live. Now, the second thing that kind of, you know, nags at me, niggles at me, as the British would say, a little bit, is what I've already previously explained. When you do a fad diet where it restricts appetite, like amphetamines or now the GLP-1 receptor agonist, it's inducing starvation. And we're creating that cannibalism or that catabolism state in the body where the body turns on its own muscle. It destroys your metabolism in the long run. And when you come off of these medications, you end up gaining your weight back plus some. And then you're going to want to do the next fad diet. And that's not the answer. And lastly, once you take the GLP-1 agonist medication, by the way, it's an injection and it's given weekly. It's in your system. There's nothing you can do to get that medication out of your system. So if you're having side effects, guess what? You're just going to have 7 days, maybe 10 days of side effects. And the other thing about this is we really don't have long-term study data on using the GLP-1 agonist in people who are non-diabetics for the purpose of weight loss. We don't have the studies to back up what are the long-term effects. Are we creating receptors in the body that are now dependent on that type of stimulation? Therefore, are we setting these people up down the road for type 2 diabetes? No one knows because the research has not been done. And many non-diabetic people who take these medications, it's really interesting. Diabetic people who take the medications will have some side effects, but they're really not that bad. But your non-diabetic people typically have the worst side effects. They have severe indigestion. And when I say severe, I'm talking about painful esophageal type pain because the indigestion is so bad. And painful upper sphincter stomach, the upper sphincter in the stomach, that there's so much pressure on that it's painful. And people complain of that all the time. They complain of nausea to varying degrees. They complain of vomiting to varying degrees, sometimes very severe. They complain of diarrhea. They complain of weakness because they've got low blood sugar. They complain of headaches for the same reason. And the list of symptoms goes on and on, but those are some of the most common. Now, as you can tell, I am not a fan of using GLP-1 class medications for weight loss. They are a lifesaver for many diabetic patients and pre-diabetic patients for that matter. And until we have more data on the safety in non-diabetic patients, we shouldn't, I don't think we should use it. We've got to have the data. Show me the studies and I'll get on board with it. But I've never been an early adopter of new medications, period. And I've never been an early adopter of off-label medication use, especially with something that really, even with diabetic patients, we don't have a lot of long-term data on. So that's kind of all I'm going to say about that. So the question then becomes, so Brian, what do we do? You've already mentioned that staying well hydrated, eating clean and exercising, having that good balance between cardiovascular and strength training is a critical foundation. And it is a critical foundation. But I think one of the things you can do from a mindset standpoint is to stay in the present moment. Because what I find is when we have this this quick fix illusion mindset, or we are enamored by the illusion of a quick fix, that's probably a better way to say it. When we're enamored by that quick fix solution, we have to stop ourselves and ask, why am I having these feelings? Why do I feel the need to do this right now? And we need to stop and get in the present moment, because when we're focused on a quick fix, for me, it's very immediate future focused. You're wanting your goal now. You don't want it 3 months from now, 6 months from now, 9 months from now. You want it like in the next 90 days or the next 30 days. I've had people come in and say, I've got a wedding to go to in 2 weeks and I need to be put on this medication. And I say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to prescribe it. Number one, because I don't prescribe it. Number two is because it takes 6 to 12 weeks to really get in your system and do anything. So 2 weeks is not going to do any good. But ask yourself, stop yourself, get present in the present moment. Be mindful of where you are, what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what your base emotion is that's behind this, that's driving this desire to want this. And then do a gut check with yourself. Ask yourself, am I trying to just find the easy path? Am I trying to avoid doing the things that I know work in order to get a shortcut? In case you don't know, there are not many shortcuts in life. There just really aren't. I'm 53 years old and I learned that early on, that shortcuts, I didn't learn it about the weight loss thing, obviously, until about, 15 years ago. But I learned early on in other areas of life that there really aren't any shortcuts. Sometimes the path that you have to take is the path that few people take, because few people want to do the work. And when it comes to weight loss, nobody wants to hear this. It's not a popular message. It's certainly not a popular message for gaining new clients. Okay. And that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be an advocate for healthy responses in your mind and healthy outcomes for your body. And the best thing you can do for your mind and for your body is to do things the right way. Hire a personal trainer if you've got the finances to be able to do that. If you don't, and you can't even afford to go to a gym, have a gym membership, you can walk on the sidewalk or on your road in front of your house or at the local high school track or the local park. There's somewhere you can walk. Get out there and walk. Go hiking. There are a lot of things you can do for free. Ride a bicycle, for goodness sake. That's one of the greatest exercises. But there's plenty of things you can do to move your body. We are a sedentary society. We stay put now. And it's been even worse since the pandemic and the lockdowns, where we were forced to work from home, or those that weren't fortunate enough to be able to work from home and just didn't have a job during that time, they sat at home and we became a more sedentary society. It's no wonder that we've seen an increase, an uptick and cardiovascular disease and strokes and diabetes and hypertension. And the list goes on and on and on in the past few years because we've become more sedentary. We need to move. These bodies were built. You look at the anatomical structure of a body, and it was built to move. Get out there and move your body. Keep your body hydrated. One of the best things you can do for your mental clarity, your focus, even to treat, the research is there to show that it treats depression and anxiety. Stay hydrated. And I'm talking about women need to drink at least 2 to 3 liters of water per day. Guys need to drink at least 3 to 4 liters of water per day. And you may think, well, it's wintertime. I'm not as thirsty in the wintertime. I need to dial back on that. I don't agree with that. If you live in an area of the country where you require heating to heat your home in the wintertime, you are more dehydrated in the wintertime typically than you are in the summertime. So drink water, drink plenty of water, drink clean water. Try to use filtered water if you can. Try to avoid water that comes in plastic bottles if you can. But if that's the only way you can measure it, that's fine. I always tell people either get a glass bottle or a stainless steel bottle that you can put filtered water in from your own filtration system, whether it be the filter in your refrigerator that comes out, the water comes out of the door, or it's a filter system you have attached to your sink. That's what we have. We have a filter system attached to our sink. We drink hydrogenated water that's super, super, super filtered. And actually, our system is programmable with different electrical frequencies where we can electrically charge that water for certain healing frequencies. A whole nother story for another day, but start drinking water, stay hydrated. And as far as eating clean and green, I always tell people to follow their instincts, push the envelope too, follow the instincts for basic program, but push the envelope on things that you haven't tried before. You know, if you're one of those people that say, I don't like green vegetables, find a way to get green vegetables in you. Even if you have to buy a complete green supplement that you put in a smoothie every day, find a way to get greens in you. It's critically important. Find a way to eat a healthy serving of fruits per day. I always recommend things that end in berry because they have a low glycemic impact, especially if you're trying to lose weight. Apples work pretty darn good too, but apples and anything that ends in berry is a really good go-to when you're talking about fruit if you just got to have something sweet. And then good lean organic proteins are excellent. But I think the key here is just the mindfulness. Become a mindful person. Become a mindful person about your breath. Become a mindful person about your thoughts. Become a mindful person about, why am I doing this? Why do I even want to do this? Become a mindful person about what you put in your mouth. Be mindful as you're putting it in your mouth. Sometimes we rush when we eat and we don't think. We're distracted. We're writing a paper. We're sending a text. We're on social media. We're watching TV. Get away from all that. Go outside. Eat outside. For God's sake, here's a concept. Eat at your kitchen table, you know, but be mindful about your eating. Take care of yourself. There's only one you. And I venture to guess there are quite a few people in your life that want you around. And we don't need some experimental treatment that's not really been researched, injected into your body, causing who knows what from a long-term health consequence standpoint. So that's all I've got today. Nothing else, actually. Most informed, most trusted, most grateful that you spent this time with us today. Until next time, I'm Dr. Brown. Stay in the zone.